Our study tonight is out of Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 12, heeding the example of the Bereans. The book of Acts explains the orderly and sovereignly directed program of the kingdom message from Jews to Gentiles, from Jerusalem to Rome. We can thus learn much about aligning our ministry efforts with God's sovereign work from studying the book of Acts. Acts 17, 1 to 12 records how Paul and Silas evangelized Thessalonica before being opposed and sent by fellow believers to Berea. And in Berea, how Paul and Silas met people who were more noble than those in Thessalonica for how they handled the message from Paul. So we view the passage for our application. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Acts 17, 1 to 12. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as was his custom, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Messiah must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Messiah. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them, that's Paul and Silas, not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down have come here also, whom Jason has received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there's another king, Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security, or a bond of Jason and of the others, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night unto Berea, who coming there went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, and also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Paul and Silas were well received by some of the people in their ministry at Thessalonica in verses 1 to 4. When they came to Thessalonica, Paul and Silas entered the synagogue as was their custom, and for 3 days, actually three Sabbath days, they reasoned with them from the Hebrew Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah needed to suffer and rise from the dead, and they claimed that Jesus was the Messiah. Some of the Hebrews were persuaded to believe in Christ, and they joined Paul and Silas, along with a large number of the devout Greeks and a number of the leading women of the city. The reason they would mention the women of the city, in Israel, you have a patristic culture where the men dominate, and only men are in the leadership. In Greece, it's different. In Greek cities, often prominent women could rise to the top, and they would often be involved in the leadership in the town and the city. And that's why Luke would be mentioning this. However, unbelieving Hebrews became jealous of the large following of Paul and Silas. So they persecuted them and their converts to where the believers sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, which would have been south of Thessalonica. Unbelieving Hebrews became jealous of the large following of Paul and Silas, so they reacted to their ministry by stirring up worthless men to form a mob that stirred up the entire city, and they attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring Paul and Silas out from that house to the crowd. Apparently Jason had taken the apostles there, and he was housing them. That's why they were looking for the apostles in that house. Well, they didn't find Paul and Silas there. For some reason, they weren't there at the time. So the mob dragged Jason and some of the believers before the city rulers, charging them with countering Caesar's decree by teaching allegiance to another king, which is Jesus. And of course, in those days, if you have the charge that there's another king here that you're looking forward, then Caesar, that's insurrection. And the Romans didn't like that at all, because that meant they had to bring the soldiers in and quell their insurrection. But, of course, this was an insurrection that when we preach Jesus as being the king, we're talking about a coming king in the future. We're not talking about being insubordinate to the rules that exist. Well, the charge disturbed the city rulers who were under Roman emperor's rule. So they took money as a security from Jason and the other believers they had captured before they released them. Now the believers realized that they needed to get Paul and Silas out of Thessalonica, so they immediately sent them away by night to another town. This is the town of Berea. Berea would have been south of Thessalonica, on the way down towards Athens. Well, Paul and Silas then ministered Christ's gospel in the synagogue of Berea. Now, there's a little lesson in that. Just because they ran into the problem of a rejection there in the first synagogue didn't mean that they weren't going to stop. They were going to continue. They had another synagogue to go to. And in the response of the Hebrews, the synagogue at Berea, the Hebrews there, set a timeless example of church history on handling new messages that we hear. The first pastor I pastored right out of seminary was the Berean Fundamental Church. It was named after these people. And we're going to see why. The Berean Fundamental Fellowship was a group of churches that had band together, named after these people. Well, upon ministering the gospel of Christ in the synagogue at Berea, the response of the Hebrews there was better than that of the believers in Thessalonica, a response that was more eugenes, that means noble-minded or high-minded. Specifically, these Hebrews at Berea had an excellent biblical epistemology. That's a fancy word, but it means an excellent basis for what comprised the truth. We talked about this in the Sunday school class this morning. The charismatics have a basis of truth. Their basis of truth is not really the Bible. The basis of truth is what they experience. The Bible is something that they use to sort of dovetail in with that. But for the charismatic, it's what they experience that is reality. At Nepal, that's not our reality. Our reality is actually what the Bible says first, and then experience is something that follows that. But anyway, they had an epistemology, and they utilized it in examining the message of Paul and Silas. First of all, those who heard Paul and Silas received the message with all prothumia, which means all readiness or willingness, meaning they were willing to consider its content as possibly being from God. That's the starting point of really getting to truth. A lot of times we have a tendency just to stick with what we've always believed, just because we've always believed it. And generally that works well, because God wouldn't have allowed us to believe something unless it was there. But we need to be teachable, because sometimes there are truths in Scripture that we haven't known before. And they're just as true as the things that we've believed, but we need to be open to it. It might be a new truth that we hadn't realized before, but that does not necessarily mean that just because it's new, it's wrong. Sometimes new truths are actually real truths, and we just didn't know the Word of God. So we need to be ready or willing, like these people were. Second, those who heard Paul and Silas then examined. The Greek word is anakrino. They examined the Scriptures to see whether the statements that Paul and Silas had made were true. Now, this action showed that these Hebrews held to the full divine inspiration, namely that God was the author of Scripture, infallibility, that means that it was without any unintentional error, without any intentional error. They held to the full inerrancy, which means without any unintentional error, and the ultimate authority of the Old Testament. They held to that. Now, believe it or not, Orthodox Jews today do the same thing. An Orthodox Jew will hold to the inerrancy of the Old Testament just like you and I do. They don't accept anything in the New Testament, but they will hold to the Old Testament as being the infallible, inerrant, authoritative Word of God, which is a wonderful thing. And if you do that, you can actually use the Scriptures to do what the Apostle Paul and Silas did, and that is profoundly influence people to come to believe in Jesus Christ. But those who heard Paul and Silas not only examined the Scriptures, but they examined the Scriptures kath hemeron. Kath is a shortened form of kata, the preposition kata, and literally means according to a day. where the preposition kata is used in a distributive sense to mean daily. This examination thus involved far more than a brief scriptural test of a few statements by Paul and Silas, but days of thorough examination of the messages that they taught in light of what the Old Testament scriptures thought. They went through, I imagine, Paul probably mentioned Isaiah 53. They went through that like a fine-tooth comb. He would have mentioned Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies a footstool for thy feet. You got two members of the Godhead there. These guys would have studied this. And they would have looked at Psalm 110 inside and outside, upside, downside, backwards and forwards. And they were really studying Scripture day after day after day. Now, as a result, you have two particles, menun, in Greek here, and they actually literally mean so then. In other words, consequently, as a result. Many of these Berean Hebrews believed. Notice, not just some Hebrews believed. These Jews knew their scriptures, they believed their scriptures, and they went through the scriptures, and the scriptures indicated that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah. So since their scriptures said so, many of them believed, not all. But many of them in a huge group. This is a tremendous response. Might have been 85, 90% of the people in the synagogue there believe as Jews, not just half and half. So many of them believed, including many honorable Greek women and men. Greek women, once again, this is a Greek city, and they would have been leaders in the government there, as long as the men were leaders in the government as well. Many of them came to know the Lord as a result of this. So though some Hebrews and many devout Greeks and Greek women believed the gospel at Thessalonica, the Berean Hebrews were more noble in that they received the gospel with full readiness to consider it as true, number one. Number two, they examined the gospel in light of the scriptures they held to be fully divinely inspired, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative for faith and practice, and they assessed it daily in a full inspection of the message before believing it. That's exactly why you want to be named a Berean. Okay? We want to have minds that are open to the truth, just in case it is true, but then examine everything in view of Scripture, in view of the fact that we hold the Scripture as our sole basis of authority and divine inspiration and everything, and stick with it. Study it thoroughly. It's very, very important. So we make sure and double sure and triple sure that this is right. We're not just going to believe it because somebody just happened to make a statement. What does the Scripture actually teach? And so they studied it deeply. So may we follow in the footsteps of the Bereans and how we respond to spiritual messages that are given to us. Once again, I mentioned this earlier, but we got into a discussion this morning. One of the ladies in our church mentioned they have some friends who are in the charismatic movement and came out with these strange statements. And I wasn't thinking about this passage that we're going to be preaching on tonight. I happen to mention 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, where all Scripture is completely equipping the individual believer unto every good work. That's all you need is a Scripture. But this is even better. Apostle Paul and Luke here wrote that these people at Berea were more noble because they searched the Scriptures. They searched them daily, and they searched them minutely, and that with a mind that was open to the truth, and then a great many of them made commitments to believe. This is one of the great passages on teaching us the type of epistemology we need to have, Scripture, Scripture, Scripture. What the Bible says is not what I feel is right or wrong, not what somebody thinks is right and wrong. It's what the Bible actually says. And if we go with what the Bible actually says, it's a big difference. And we come to know the truth.